It's become more and more commercialized and less meaningful to a world that is controlled by greed, selfishness, materialism. Our world has tried to empty the Christmas season of its origin by focusing on joy, peace, and goodwill, while denying or at least minimizing the only source of true peace, genuine joy, and sincere goodwill, Jesus Christ. Denying that oxygen exists just because we can't see it does not change the chemical makeup of our atmosphere. Neither does man's denial of the Christ of Christmas negate that God sent His Son to be the Lamb who would die for the sin of the world. For centuries, the wonderful story of the birth of Christ has been told and remembered through the singing of songs. All over the world, in almost every language, the birth of Jesus has been told through the carols, in spite of the attempts of godless people to silence this good news. God is still, in spite of man's attempt to silence the message, declaring His truth, that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tonight, in a simple, beautiful way, we want to hear through the Christmas carols the account of Christmas, the account of God's love for the human race. We want to remember the reality that Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, humbled Himself and became one of us humans so that He, God, could die to pay the penalty of man's sin. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God promised Satan that He would send a son through the human race that would cause the death blow to the sin that Satan had perpetrated upon the human race. For centuries, it seemed to some that God had forgotten His promise. The Old Testament scriptures record a continuing thread of faithfulness to fulfill every detail of this wonderful provision of a Savior to redeem mankind. God chose the Jewish people to be the special nationality through which He would bring this Savior into the world. Prophets proclaimed the assurance that a Messiah was coming. Over and over again, God reminded mankind that Emmanuel would come. Often in the depths of despair and suffering, Old Testament saints and prophets cried out their longing for this Redeemer, Emmanuel, to make His appearance.
Some 4,000 years passed from the time that that first promise of a Savior before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Along the way, God gave many more prophecies of just how the seed promised in Genesis 3:15 would be born. God told his messengers, the prophets, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. He would not just be born through the Jewish race, he would be born into the tribe of Judah. Not only would he be born to the tribe of Judah, he would be a descendant of King David. His birth would be miraculous because he would be born of a virgin. Often we humans become impatient, but Paul the Apostle wrote that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. In other words, it happened when the timing was just right. Matthew and Luke record a detailed account of how this wonderful and miraculous birth took place. This momentous happening changed forever the way God allowed mankind to relate to him. It changed forever the way man can know God. This birth event had been anticipated for centuries. It had been foretold many, many times. The details had gradually been revealed. And now, when the fruition of the time was come, God sent special messengers to the participants of this miraculous event to give them their assignment. The maiden Mary, a chaste young woman who had never had sexual relations with a man, was chosen by God to be the woman to whom the Savior would be born. This young woman was told by an angel that she had found favor with God.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and is holy in his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Micah declared that the promised Messiah would be born in the town of Bethlehem. Caesar Augustus decreed that all citizens return to the city of their birth to pay a tax, and Joseph and his espoused wife Mary returned to the city of his birth, Bethlehem, to obey that decree. And while they were there, Jesus was born. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Hallelujah, oh how the angels sang.
The fulfillment of God's promised Messiah is, for us as believers, a wonder and a wonderful thing. It is God's assurance that the Bible is true in every detail.
Wonderful birth to a manger he came, made in the likeness of man to proclaim God's boundless love for a world sick with sin, pleading with sinners to let him come in. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings his triumphs afford. Wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful love of my wonderful Lord.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Won't you stand and sing with us? Hark the herald angels sing.
Since that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago, God's promises have been just as sure of fulfillment as was that promise of a Redeemer who would save fallen men from his sin. The Christmas Advent was a joyful event that did indeed bring peace to the hearts of those who recognized that Jesus, the babe in the manger, was God's only Son who came to this world to die so that the penalty of sin, which is death, could be paid in full. One of the best known carols speak of the tranquility of that wonderful night.
The Bible tells us that the birth of Jesus took place in a manger because there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. There was legitimate reason for that inn to be full. Many were in the city to pay their assessed tax just as Joseph and Mary were. But today, many things crowd our lives. We almost have to have a catastrophe of some sort that shuts down the phones, the internet, electricity, and transportation, just to stop us from crowding out time with God. So it is appropriate to ask this question: have you any room for Jesus?
very thought-provoking question that that song asks, or have you any room for Jesus? I wonder if I might ask that of you tonight. Have you any room for Jesus in your life right now? With everything going on in your life, your schedules, do you have room for Jesus? Especially as we consider Christmas, it is the birth of Christ that we're celebrating, that gift of God to us. We need to make room, folks. I'm going to ask if you would, in just a moment, we're going to stand, and I trust every one of you had received a candle or were able to get one when you came in the back doors there, the front doors of the church. But as we typically do, before we light the candles, we'd like to give you some instructions. I'd like for you to just observe the candles here in front of me. There's one thing they all have in common. They're all different shapes and sizes, but they're all straight up. You don't see a candle like this with a flame on the end of it, and there's a reason for that, folks. Okay? In just a moment, I'll have some men come down the aisles, and they will light the person on the end. They will light their candle. Once it's lit, just hold it straight up. The person next to you will light their candle off of yours. All right? So if we could all stand up, please, at this time, and I'll have our men come down the aisle and begin lighting these candles. And as they light them, would you join me, please, in singing a familiar Christmas carol, Silent Night. Christmas. Thank you for the joy, the goodwill that comes around at this time of year. But more than anything, God, we thank you for your Son. God, I thank you for reaching into my heart as a 19-year-old, helping me to see that I needed a Savior, that I needed you in my heart, in my life. God, I pray that this Christmas might be different from all others, that we would, as believers, take the lights that we have in front of us and, in a way, share that light with others, the story of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, you may blow out your candles, and let me say as we dismiss, Merry Christmas.